It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome into a very special episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. My name is Jacob Rudner alongside Swamp 247 recruiting analyst Blake Alderman. And Blake, we gather here today to discuss Florida's 10th transfer edition of the offseason. Former Kentucky offensive lineman Keonta Goodwin, a 6'8", 350-plus pound offensive tackle, former five-star prospect. As we do with all of these types of shows, Blake, I will hand it to you right away. To tell the people how to feel and what they should know about Florida's newest player.
Regardless of what these guys, you know, Goodwin and the other transfer portal additions that Florida added through the transfer portal, this looks like an SEC team in the trenches. You know, this is the type of team that, you know, coming off the bus, you know, these guys look the part. Translate the talent, you know, I think that Florida has definitely added, you know, a lot of good in that aspect, but This is what you want your SEC team to look like in the trenches, especially whenever you've got a team like Florida that really relied on running the ball this past season. That's the bread and butter for Billy Napier. These are the type of big humans that you want to open up these holes. And I think for Goodwin, you know, he's a guy that, you know, maybe earlier on in his high school career was dealing with some bad weight, really re-sculpted that, you know, that body leading up to his senior year of high school where he, you know, he looked like $1 million. This is a former five-star offensive tackle. He's what you want an offensive tackle to look like, you know. I think that he still needs to do some parts in cleaning up that, you know, the bad weight. I think he did accumulate a little bit of that, you know, in his first season in Lexington with Kentucky. You know, I think that that's something that, you know, you look at a guy like Desmond Watson at Florida, you know, who came in on the bigger side and is still a big guy in his own right. But you can see that Florida with the nutrition side, and the attention that they put into that, you know, all those types of, you know, from the eating clean and you know, kind of balancing out what these guys eat to, you know, the work they do in recovery and just all those types of things that Billy Napier has all these people on this billion people staff that he has that are geared towards those things. I think that was an appeal for Goodwin through his second recruiting process. The fact that they put so much attention to that on top of having two offensive line coaches. You've got Rob Sale, sure. You've got Darnell Stapleton, you've got extra set of eyes, you know, to really divvy up the offensive line and get that extra coaching on top of you see what these guys did through Florida's offensive line last year, had one of the best offensive lines in the SEC. So now you're getting some of these guys in there to piece together this offensive line, you know, for Goodwin. And, you know, I think that maybe didn't have the snaps that you would, you know, could really sit there and do some research on as you're looking for someone that comes to the NCAA transfer portal. But this is a guy that was a true freshman last year, you know? Right. So I think that on top of landing a guy that was highly regarded coming out of high school through the transfer portal, but you're also adding someone that it's not a 1-2 year band-aid type of guy. This is someone that you can put your stamp on as a coach, as you know, as far as development, you know, this is the big type of human that you want to mold, you know, Florida, you look at the guys that they've, you know, they're bringing in through the offensive line, you know, through high school recruiting, through the transfer portal. They want these big dudes. You know, they want to come out and look like, you know, the Monstars from Space Jam. And that's what they've got assembled there on the offensive line. And I think you've got a guy like Goodwin who's got some good footwork. You know, he's athletic and nimble for a big guy as big as he is. Got some things to clean up for sure. He's a young guy. That's what you expect for young guys when they come into the program. But this was a really good get for Florida. I really like this addition. I think he's a guy that, you know, offensive tackle is a big need for them. It's a position that I've continuously sit there and said that that's an area where Florida needs to improve depth and, you know, guys that can get in there in the rotation. And Goodwin is a guy that you can, A, get in for the spring semester. You can have him go through spring ball. You can get him worked on the nutrition side of things. You can have him go through, you know, spring ball as far as coaching and you're grooming him as a player, but also learning your playbook, learning your scheme. So really good get for Florida here. I really like this addition.
Yeah, I'm going to add a little bit of color to something you said that I think is interesting. You commented on the type of athlete Florida has seemingly targeted at offensive line since taking over a little over a year ago. Big people. They like huge offensive linemen. So I'm gonna go through some of their additions. Cameron Waits, who has a torn Achilles right now, and you know will be out for a number of months as a result. However, Cameron Waits, 6'8", 373 pounds. Jordan Herman, 6'8", 370 pounds. Goodwin, 6'8", 351 pounds. Incoming freshman offensive lineman Caden Jones, 6'8", 325 pounds. And there are others. There are other extremely large individuals that this group has recruited at offensive line. And the other thing that I wanted to comment on was you know, this is really somebody who you can bring in and develop. I like this addition mostly for its potential. Goodwin is a guy who's going to have plenty of time at Florida. There's no need to necessarily rush him if the staff decides he's not ready to start right away. I think there are other solid options that they can throw out there into a starting five and kind of maybe even have Goodwin play an Austin Barber role, like that six-man offensive lineman role that Barber was in last year and got a lot of reps doing. I could see that for him as well if it's not exactly up to par as far as starting goes with Goodwin. But that's great. That's an opportunity for Florida to really take a guy and, as you said, mold him how they see fit. And as we talked about on our last episode of the show, Darnell Stapleton and Rob Sale have a lengthy history at that of really good player development. And that's dating back to Louisiana with guys like Osiris Torrance, with Max Mitchell, who's in the NFL, with Robert Hunt, who's in the NFL, you know, even guys at Florida in the last year too, some really great improvement in such a short time. Richard Garage, Kingsley Egwukon improved greatly. Michael Tarquin and Ethan White transferred to USC, which was a near college football playoff team. So definitely a good group, and this is an addition to that. Tell me kind of about the process with this recruitment here, Blake. It seems like things kind of moved quickly. You and I started to hear about how maybe it was trending in Florida's direction a day or two before he took an official visit, and then things got a little bit murky towards the end. What can you tell us about this process and how it went down and just how Goodwin ended up in the fold at Florida?
Well, I think to start at the beginning here, you know, again, you hear a guy that was dealing with some, you know, some bad weight, having to reshape his body. I think that was where Florida really first and foremost started. You know, Goodwin goes in the transfer portal, right? Then Florida starts doing their research. You always want to know, why are they in the transfer portal? What's their intentions? What are they looking for? All those types of things. You know, that work is done. That legwork's there. They get out there and they see him. They see that he's already in the process of, you know, shedding some of that weight, that he's trending in the right way, as opposed to, you know, sitting there, you know, eating an entire pizza by yourself, you know, that kind of deal. You know, you've got a guy that is, you know, working towards improving himself. So I think that checked off another box. This past weekend, Florida brings him in for an official visit. You know, they get a chance to show him around, you know, and again, to kind of circle back, you know, how, as I said, you know, the nutrition work that they do on the Florida side, having those two offensive line coaches, you know, those were interest points for him heading into that visit. So gets a chance to see all those things. You know, Florida really wanted to make a move of getting this guy in there in the spring, you know, and we had heard that the 23rd of, you know, which was this past Monday, was looking like the last day that Florida could really try to get these guys in for that spring semester. You know, obviously, drop ad had already passed. The first day of spring semester classes was January 9th. But Florida could stretch out that, you know, that Monday deadline into the week, clearly, because he's been announced for the spring semester. So this was like, really, this week was like, you know, this is crunch time. So they really put it into the, you know, the motion of getting this guy, you know, admitted, you know, getting things squared away as far as trying to figure out classes and whatnot for him to have in the spring so that he could get there and get, you know, hit the ground running. Sure. All those things worked out. You know, earlier this week, I had heard that he had signed a financial aid agreement paper with Florida, which is, for some people who may not know, it's similar to signing a letter of intent. They're kind of cousins, I guess, if you want to say that. They're not, you know, the exact same thing. Signing the financial aid papers doesn't bind you to the school like an LOI does. You know, when you sign that paper, you fax it, and you are officially part of the family. You could sign those financial aid papers. You're technically part of the family, but you could still, you know, you could still go to another school. You're not really locked in officially. So Florida still had some work to do. Sorry.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you real quick. For anybody who's just looking at this in a real simple terms, the financial aid papers is essentially like being admitted to a college if you're not an athlete, whereas the signing a letter of intent would be enrolling in the school. One of them is binding and much more difficult to get out of, whereas the other is a matter of acceptance and you know, verbally basically being a part of something, but very easily retracted and gotten out of it. It's more of a
one binds the school to you, the other binds you to the school. So right. That's how those are split out there. So, anyways, he signs those papers. Everything's in the right motion there, but again, that doesn't make him officially part of the Gators. So, continue to get some things ironed out. Meeting with the coaching staff. You know, I don't know if that was in person. You know, Zoom, FaceTime, all the 10 million ways there are to get in touch with somebody these days. Things were ironed out there. It's now announced as part of the Florida family. He's I believe he should be in town sometime on Wednesday to get settled and get moved in. I would probably have to check on that a little bit more as the day goes along. You know, whenever this podcast drops, clearly we'll have some more on Swamp 24/7. If we ever get some, any more word on that, we'll continue to, kind of dig in on that. But either way, big addition for Florida. That's kind of the backstory of how this, kind of thing came to fruition. Louisville did make things interesting. That was maybe Florida's biggest competition there. I don't know that there was necessarily any worry of him going back to Kentucky, because if you enter the transfer portal, you still have that option if the school wants you to come back. So Louisville did make things interesting there for Florida. Sure. But I think the appeal of the SEC, the offensive line coaches, the attention to detail they have towards, nutrition and all those types of things. And on top of that, the opportunity that Florida has, you mentioned Cameron Waite's going down with that Achilles tear. Again, that's maybe apples to oranges, more to a guy that's probably more of a guard compared to a tackle, but the competition, the chance to see the field, all those types of things are appealing because, you are one man down. And, could you throw Goodwin in as an offensive guard if you get into a pinch? Maybe. I think that's something you could do as you plug and play guys, as you tinker with your offensive line in the spring. Sure. His future is offensive tackle. You've got a guy that moves like that, has the length like that. But you've got a guy that you can at least piece things around in the spring and you can kind of figure out what your best starting five is, who, like you said, is going to be that sixth man, the hinge guy that can come in and out of the game. Or even, if you can have, seven, eight guys on the offensive line that you feel you could count on, the more the merrier for the offensive line for Florida.
Right. And to add on to something you just said, I think that there's value in numbers at offensive line. It's not just necessarily about replacing a guard with a guard or replacing a tackle with a tackle. Florida is going to be without Cameron Waite's for a considerable amount of time. Definitely no participation in the spring. I would say that fall camp is questionable at best. And then you get into like the early season time, first couple games, non-con schedule. Is he back for that? Maybe. It's a very difficult injury to recover from at a guy of his size. Also, you have to keep in mind, he's a 373-pound football player. And being inactive, essentially, with an Achilles tear is going to make it very difficult for him to condition. And so you have to, there are so many concerns with a guy like that. And while, yes, Goodwin is a tackle moving forward, there's no question about it, there is something to be said for having another able-bodied player in the room who can step in, who allows you to shuffle around to other guys if you need to. Does somebody like Damian George, let's say Damian George is a starter, he probably has the type of footwork and skill set where I do think he could more easily slide inside if they needed him to do that. And then maybe you plug and play Goodwin wherever George was playing on the offensive line. So it's an important addition in light of that injury. And as you said, we'll continue on Swamp 247 to keep you updated with how Florida does kind of sort through that depth chart at the position in the spring. Blake, as we get ready to wrap up the show here, any final thoughts? Florida at 10 transfers now. That's it now for this period of transfer time. They'll be again able to invest in some new talent after spring ball in May when the portal opens again. But just maybe some recap thoughts on what we've got so far.
I think that Florida, you can see the areas where they wanted to improve. You see the attention they put on offensive line. And like you said, you lose a guy like Michael Tarquin and Ethan White. You have to replace those guys in. And they certainly did that. Even if you throw in, Osiris Torrance, who's off the NFL, you've added another guy to really kind of come in and replace that guy. Right. Linebacker, they've added three of those guys, where you add Manny Nunnery from Houston. They added him earlier this week. That's a guy that, that's their third transfer portal linebacker this cycle. Pair him with a guy like Jaden Robinson, who's from the high school ranks. That's four linebackers coming into a room that really needed a big facelift, and I think that they did a good job with that. And I think for Florida, you're in an interesting spot with linebacker, because you're adding some of these guys that are those 1 year, 2 year band-aid types of players. Right. So that kind of bridges the gap over for 2024 recruiting cycle, where they've already got Miles Graham in the fold. They're in a really good spot for a guy like Adarius Hayes, the four-star linebacker in the 2024 class. So Florida has a chance to kind of backfill, you know, those younger guys in that 2024 class. So I really like the fact that they've got that experience at the linebacker room and the transfer portal for 2023. You know, quarterback Graham Mertz, you know, you needed a quarterback even more so now with the Jaden Rashada thing falling apart. You've got a guy that's got a lot of experience. You know, granted, he has really thrown the ball a lot to the other team. That's one area where you need to improve for him. Another third running back, they added Cam Carroll from Tulane as a third running back. I think that was an area where Florida struggled to get some traction going with some of these transfer portal running backs. And I say that because Florida's running back room is already very impressive. You know, it's hard to talk to a guy in the transfer portal and pitch them at best on being running back three, you know, behind Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne. So I do think that, you know, for Florida, you know, you see the area where they really wanted to improve. You know, defensive line, again, was an area where they wanted to hit the ground running there. They've certainly done that. I think that safety is one area where I think that maybe they continue to vet guys that are currently in the portal now, see where things shake out in that spring window that you were talking about there later in the spring after spring ball. You have a guy that, you know, you can find in there that's maybe a – you know, like a 1 year, 2 year type of guy that already has the experience, maybe don't need to coach up as much and you can kind of teach him more readily on the fly as far as teaching scheme. Whereas a guy that, you know, is younger that you needed to actually go through the motions through spring ball. So, you know, I think that that's an area. I think wide receiver is one where I think that they're fairly happy with their room. But if you have a guy that you, you know, can add in there like a, you know, like a Ricky Pearsall type of guy that, you know, can come in and really kind of revamp that room and raise the, you know, the floor and the roof of the room. Offensive line, you know, more the merrier with those guys in the offensive line. If you can vet some of those guys later in the spring, you know, we'll probably talk more about what is there and what the needs are after we go through and see what spring ball is. You know, could they get another quarterback in the portal? We'll see. You know, there's definitely some needs still to fill for Florida, but I think from what they have landed in the portal so far, you can see where they felt that the roster was needed the most help. And you can see that offensive line, defensive line, linebacker room. And I think that they've done a good job of getting some bodies in there that have some playing experience and can kind of, like I said, bridge that gap into, you know, the carryover needs that they have in 2024 recruiting cycle.
I'll throw one more name out there before we close out the show here. Outside linebacker is a position that really, really needs some attention. There's three guys on scholarship on the roster right now, unless they're going to move guys over. So that is a room as well that will need some attention. And we will pay attention to it for you over at swamp247.com. Make sure you give us a look over on our message board. We're constantly publishing stuff, you know, both in written story form, but also Blake and I and Graham Hall constantly sharing information on our subscriber-only message board. So if you want the full Florida experience, full like a coverage experience, you're going to want to hit that subscribe button over there. And we would ask you to do the same over on YouTube if that's where you're watching this. And, you know, that being said, that's going to do it for this episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. Next week is signing day, February 1st. So you can look for another podcast episode, kind of talking recruiting, more big picture, looking at the 2023 class with Blake and I at some point around then. And for this one, though, that's going to do it. Blake Alderman, my name is Jacob Rudner. We will see you next time.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.